It's America's favorite fast food. The line is always long, the chicken is always good, and it's always closed on Sundays. It generates the most sales per store of any fast food restaurant in the country, and of course, I'm talking about Chick-fil-A. And today, I'm talking with Justin Whitefoot, the owner and operator of Chick-fil-A here in Normal, Illinois. Justin, welcome.
Paul, thanks so much for having me today. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Hey, the pleasure is all mine. And that's something you hear a lot in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. And we'll talk about that in a second. But first, I said you're the owner and the operator. What exactly does that entail?
Yeah, that's a great question, Paul. And at Chick-fil-A, we do use that term owner-operator because we have what we look at as a dual role. A lot of times in business, you see somebody as the owner, they might not ever be there. You might have an owner that never sets foot inside that store. And at Chick-fil-A, that's something that we don't want to see because we know part of that great experience that we're trying to give our guest is somebody that cares. And so that's why we have that term operator is at the end of the day, if we're having trouble in operations or something like that, I might make your chicken sandwich that comes out to you. And my team knows that, and we're really big in making sure that we are always serving our guests well. So I got to play that role of business owner, but also operator. So I would say for me, what that looks like for a week, I'm usually at my store at least 40 to 50 hours, if not working from home a little bit more, because we're passionate about supporting our team and giving our guests a really great experience. So that's why we kind of have those two titles there.
Interesting. Well, because if you look at McDonald's owners, mm-hmm. which is, you know, these franchisees or franchise owners or whatever they're called, mm-hmm. a lot of the time they don't spend hardly any time in that in McDonald's. They're more so are adding it to their business portfolio. But that's not the case with you. You might as well be an employee, it sounds like.
Yeah, and there's some like different lines there that we always look at with Chick-fil-A, and it, at times it can look like that on the surface, but what Chick-fil-A and Truitt, our founder, was so passionate about was that great experience that he never wanted to have that opportunity for an operator to maybe say have 15 locations spread across a couple different cities, because the reality of you being able to build a relationship with your team or even your guests, it's just not there. Right. I actually, fun fact about me, I actually worked at McDonald's when I was in high school. I never met the owner. I think the owner owned like maybe five different McDonald's. And that's not necessarily inherently good or bad, but we know this. If that owner was really passionate about certain things, I didn't know that because I never met him. I never saw him. And so that's one thing at Chick-fil-A. We want to try to make sure that everybody comes and gets a little bit of that almost mom and pop experience, which is kind of where Chick-fil-A really grew out of, which we maybe talk about the dwarf house at some point with Chick-fil-A history. But we want that personal experience. And so at times it can almost look a little bit more like employee, but Chick-fil-A gives us a lot of liberties to be able to make great business decisions inside our business. Obviously, we have guardrails inside of that. I can't just add something to the menu that you can only get at Chick-fil-A Veterans in College, right? Because that's where you start to erode a little bit of the trust and the experience with the brand. But as far as like different decisions for my business, things that I might think will work better, they give us a lot of liberty to be able to do those things. So we always like to say, hey, we own the people, but Chick-fil-A owns the building. And that's a little bit of how it works.
Interesting. Okay, so you mentioned something about the Dwarf House. You mentioned mm-hmm. something about the founder of Chick-fil-A. How about we just go ahead and jump into the origins of Chick-fil-A? Where has it come from? Where did it start? What are its core values even? I'll let you take the mic.
Yeah, that's a great question. And we'll have to make sure I don't go too long with this answer.
Sure.
So let me talk for a minute about Truitt Cathy. So I'm sure a lot of people may recognize that name, but maybe not. Truitt's no longer with us. He now has a second, third, and the Cathy family's working on the fourth generation, is what we like to say. And it's still a privately family-owned business, which is one of the things that makes it really unique. And Truitt originally just wanted to start a restaurant. So he had come back and started a restaurant with his brother, Ben. They originally called it the Dwarf House Grill. They started it. It was in, just outside of the Atlanta airport. It was close to the Atlanta airport. And then also they had a Ford car factory down close to it. And those were basically their two big businesses that they knew were going to be a lot of guests. So it was a cafe. It was open 24 hours a day, 6 days a week. Truitt kind of we could talk about Sunday at some point, I'm sure, and why we have that history. But yeah, 24 hours a day, 6 days a week. And he was just there and serving guests. He wanted them to have a great experience. So that's really where Chick-fil-A was born out of, kind of a quick history.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're going to talk about why it's closed on Sundays in a little bit. We're going to talk more about the origins and the core values and everything. But I just want to talk about why people love Chick-fil-A so much first, because this is really something. So since its creation in 2015, the American Customer Satisfaction Index, a really official thing, has been dominated by Chick-fil-A, blowing places like Starbucks, KFC, Burger King, Wendy's, and McDonald's out of the water year after year. Why is that? Is it because it's a privately held, family-owned company? Is it something about the way you coach your employees? Is it about the relationship, the culture? Why is it that people love going to Chick-fil-A for the as far as the experience goes? Why is it they love that so much more than the other places?
Yeah, that's a great question, Paul. And I think really, we could narrow it down to a couple things, but I think there's a lot of different aspects that really affect us being able to perform that way. And hear us say, we're so proud of our brand and our teams. At the end of the day, please hear us sing the praises of our teams, because right now, while I'm here with you, my store's still open. And we know we're just a couple blocks away from that, but my team is serving guests right now, trying to make that great experience and that customer satisfaction index a reality. And they're the ones that really hold up our brand. And so I think going back to, hey, why are we able to be so successful? I think it comes down to the fact that we are privately held. We get the chance to make some different decisions. We don't necessarily have the pressure of shareholders and quarterly numbers, different things like that, that are always kind of looming in the next quarter. And so, you know, I don't know a lot about the Chick-fil-A Inc. aspect of stuff, but I know that's one thing for me as an operator I really appreciate. We're not necessarily making decisions that we feel like might be short-sighted when there's a better one that could be there in the future.
Right.
And then I'd say the other thing really comes back to that owner-operator model. I truly believe if I'm not there in my business and I'm not the one being able to cast vision, connect with my team members, grow them, that there over time we'll start to see a decline. Now, hear me say, I do not think I'm the key crucial aspect of my business. I have so many great leaders that serve with me, and many of them do so much to elevate our business and make it the experience that it is. But I think some of it comes down to the fact that we do have that owner-operator there that is tied to the business and really cares about how it's doing. And having somebody like that that is there does a lot of special things for the team, the business, and I think the guests as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said that, you know, for the sake of being humble, you won't say that you're this crucial aspect as the owner and operator to the success of Chick-fil-A in Normal. But the weeding out process, from what I've heard and what I understand, this selection process for owners and operators is really, really difficult. It's difficult to make the cut. Statistically, it's harder to become a Chick-fil-A owner and operator than to get into schools like Harvard and Stanford. So you are of the elite few, I'll say. Do you think that that process, being as stringent as it is part of the reason that Chick-fil-A has the success that it does? And then maybe you can tell me about your experience in that process.
Yeah. I would say absolutely, Paul. It is highly, highly competitive. And hear me say, I feel so blessed to have made it to this position and this point. It was definitely, you know, for talking a little bit about my story, it was a dream for a long time, and it was a long journey. And it wasn't easy. There were a lot of hard times that I'm sure we can get into. But I would say that selection process plays a very crucial role in being able to do it. Our Chick-fil-A Inc. is awesome. Our selection team is great. They truly are looking for the best people that have a lot of passion for both people and results. Because we know to be great in business, you have to be able to do both, right? We can't just have people that love the Paul Garcia show, but it's like 10, because that's not a very successful business model. Mm-hmm. You want to have people that love the Paul Garcia show and it's growing, right? We're getting more listeners, more viewers. And so that's what Chick-fil-A is always looking for. Who are these people that we believe we can trust with our business that are both going to love people well and grow great teams and also get those good results?
Mm-hmm. How did you – maybe we'll start from this.
Yeah.
Why did you decide, and when did you decide, that you wanted to be an owner and operator and be so closely involved with Chick-fil-A? When did that happen? Because you look like a young guy.
Yeah.
So how long ago was that?
That's a good question. So for me, my Chick-fil-A journey started back in about 2011. Okay, so fun fact about me, I grew up in Nebraska. Nebraska didn't have Chick-fil-A till about, it was like 2011, 2012, 2013. And so growing up, I knew what Chick-fil-A was because I'd see commercials on TV, I'd see the cows, but I never had had it. I never had it on vacation. You know, honestly, I come from a little bit of a humble family. We didn't travel a ton when I was younger. If we did, it was usually within driving distance. And we just didn't have Chick-fil-A as a big brand in the Midwest at that time. So in 2011, I had my first experience with Chick-fil-A in Colorado. I don't remember which store it was, but I had a good friend of mine who knew Chick-fil-A a lot better than I did. And he told me, you're going to love this place. We're going to drive 20 minutes out of the way. We're going to go get some Chick-fil-A. It's going to be amazing. And I was like, okay, this sounds good. We were actually coming back from a ski trip, getting ready for the next semester of college. So I was kind of ready to get home and just rest up a little bit before the next college semester was going to start. But we ended up driving 20 minutes out of the way, stopped at a Chick-fil-A, and we stopped for breakfast. And I got to be honest, Paul, I love our breakfast menu. I did not love it back in 2011. My friend told me, you got to get chicken, right? Makes sense. Chick-fil-A, got to have it. And you've got to get Chick-fil-A sauce. And so I think I got a chicken, egg, and cheese biscuit, and I got hash browns and Chick-fil-A sauce. To this day, I still do not recommend people putting hash browns in Chick-fil-A sauce. If you love it, great. Our Chick-fil-A sauce is amazing. I don't think our hash browns pair the best with it. But I had my first experience. We got back in the car, we were driving back to Nebraska, and he's like, so man, what'd you think? Right? He's ready to just hear me sing the praises of Chick-fil-A. And I was honest with him. I said, Matt, like, the experience was awesome, right? The person that took our order, the hospitality was great. I just was not sold on the food at that time. And I kind of told him, I said, this is what I thought about it. I thought eating chicken for breakfast was a little bit weird. I thought the Chick-fil-A sauce was a little bit weird with the hash browns. And he took the next 30 minutes of the drive, and he told me every single thing about Chick-fil-A that he loved and made it different than other brands. What stuck out to me more than anything in that conversation, Paul, like 15 minutes in, I'm like, I've never heard anybody defend a brand like this, let alone a quick service restaurant, right? Like, out of all the brands that we're gonna stand up for, it's probably a bigger brand like Apple or Nike or something like that. But he was just defending Chick-fil-A. And what stuck out to me in that conversation was like, wow, there's really a lot of people that love this Chick-fil-A. Like, I got to find out more about this. So that kind of springboarded into me having as many Chick-fil-A experiences as I could. And really, to answer your question, what got me into Chick-fil-A? It was my great friend, Matt. And then also many experiences at different Chick-fil-A stores, seeing the pursuit of excellence and just trying to make that guest so satisfied, that really bought me into wanting to even try to get in business with Chick-fil-A.
Right. I mean, I love Chick-fil-A. I love the food. It's delicious. I go there for the chicken sandwiches, the fries, and the ranch.
Awesome.
Great place. Right here in Normal. I go there every single week, minimum one time. And this is not sponsored by Chick-fil-A, by the way. But I think almost half the reason I go there and continue to go there is the excellent service. I love it. I look forward to it. I leave happier than I came in because those employees are so friendly. Hey, how you doing today? Oh, doing good. Okay, what can I get a name for this? And then they're just smiling like crazy. And one time, just the other week, I asked one of the employees, I'm like, because I was waiting for my food, and I said, so do you like working here? They said, I love it. It's actually, and this is not a joke, it's actually the highlight of my life right now. I'm like,
wow.
Whoa. And I'm like, and I look back, behind her is a bunch of employees in the window, and they're smiling. And they're like, they don't look miserable. I'm like, this is odd to see at a fast food restaurant. So my question to you is, what differentiates you from places like Taco Bell, McDonald's, KFC, in the training process of these new employees that produces such friendly, kind employees that love what they do, and they show that love to the customers? What do you do in the training process differently? I love pizza, especially pizza from Marshalloni's Pizza in Fairbury, Illinois. Experience Marshalloni's Pizza and their famous cheese nuggets for an amazing price when you order today. If you call them up at 815-692-4602 between 4 and 5 p.m. and order a pizza, you will get the second pizza of equal or lesser value for free. Restrictions apply. You can even pick up that order after the 4 to 5 window and still get that happy hour discount. As a pizza connoisseur myself, I will proudly say that my favorite barbecue chicken pizza comes from here, so check them out. 815-692-4602 and pick it up at 405 East Locust Street in Fairbury. They're open 7 days a week from 4 to 9 p.m. If you're a business owner who wants more business, you need a great website. It's where people first interact with your business. That's where BrandBuddy out of Pontiac, Illinois comes in. BrandBuddy makes your entire online experience a breeze. Whether it's building a fully functional and visually stunning website with custom tools and buttons, or designing sophisticated advertising campaigns, BrandBuddy is the one-stop shop for your business. At BrandBuddy, an expert developer will listen to your needs and visions before building what you need. If you want to boost business and grow your online presence, call or text BrandBuddy today at 815-743-3074.
Yeah, that's a good question. And let me first off shout out other quick service restaurants, Paul. Like because it's my job, I'm a quick service junkie, I would call it. Mm. I love going out to eat. I love going to places like Taco Bell and some of those places, and they do a really good job. I think what we do differently is I truly think one of the things that it comes back to, and I know we're still probably going to touch on this, is being closed on Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's just a bit of a different business model. We can pull a lot of different people that know there's one guaranteed day off. Because in the quick service world, in the restaurant world in general, most of the time you're open 363, maybe 364 days a year. At Chick-fil-A, we're actually only open about 311 because we have some holidays off and other things. I think that's a bit of a different business model that's helped us with what mm-hmm. we term our talent pool. The other thing that we do is we try to create as great of an environment as possible. What's inside of our control to make it a great place to work, to make it a place where people actually enjoy coming to work. Because, man, when people love their job,
absolutely,
they're going to serve somebody else mm-hmm. better, right? And so we always, a tagline that we have in Chick-fil-A is we say, cared for team members, care for customers, right? So if we can care for our team well, they're going to care for customers well. And a lot of that comes back to selection and just looking for people that love people. Mm-hmm. And then from that point to your talking about training, I don't think there's anything super magical or different that we do with training, but I think a lot of it is just the care and intention of training. I think sometimes in businesses, it can be hard to actually set aside time for that. And we try to always stay just a little bit overstaffed so that we have time to really train those team members well and teach them how to care for our guests.
Interesting. A few things you said that were interesting is you like to say stay overstaffed. That doesn't sound like a penny pinching type of business. If you want to stay overstaffed, well, it seems like you care about the customer. I think that's what pays for being overstaffed.
Yeah.
And again, you have more sales than any other fast food restaurant every day, per capita, and I just in general, I guess. But anyway, how do you care for your employees? You said cared for employees, care for customers. How do you care for them?
Yeah.
And what does that mean?
That's a great question. A lot of it is our leadership. We work really hard on selecting leaders. Many of them grow up inside our restaurant, start as a team member, and gain leadership abilities. But we work really hard on making sure our leaders are great. Because if we're being honest, most people, when they have a job, it is that direct manager or leader that is, in a way, a make or break for them. They either love their job because of that person, or they don't love their job because of that person. Mm-hmm. So we work a lot with our leaders. We have leadership meetings every week. We have several different layers of leadership at Chick-fil-A, but we even have our leaders have leadership meetings with their leaders as well. We call them team leaders once a month. And what we really focus on is, hey, what can we be doing better as a business? How can we care for our team more? What does that look like? And I think to answer what does that care look like? Simply, a lot of it is just showing those team members every day that they're noticed, right? Like one of my goals when I walk into my business every day, doesn't always happen, but I try to say hello to every single person by name, right? I might not get the chance to ask a follow-up question, but I try to at least let them know, I know you're here today, and thank you for what you're doing to serve our team. I think that's a small piece that we do that helps build that bigger culture that allows our team to really love their job and care for our guests.
Mm-hmm. The number one reason that people leave their jobs is feeling underappreciated by their bosses. So do you take any time or do you care to show them that they're appreciated as well? Or is that part of, you know, calling them by name? Or is there anything else that you do? Because I tell you, it's mysterious why they are so positive and friendly.
Yeah.
Do you really think it's just saying, hey, by name? Or
no, it's definitely not that. Okay. We know that's a small piece of it. We talk a lot about our culture, and culture is such an important and crucial piece of business, in business. And I think the best way to describe culture is when you walk into a business, it's what you feel. Right? We can feel the culture of a lot of different places. If we walk into different businesses, walk into schools, and, you know, walk into a concert, you can kind of tell just from the energy what it's going to look like. And so I'd say there's many, many aspects that affect that culture. One of them is saying hello and goodbye. One of them is doing outside events. We're having a belated Christmas party coming up this next weekend. And we try to go really big with our Christmas party. This is actually the first one for me as this owner of this Chick-fil-A. And so we've got like a PlayStation 5 we're giving away. We're going to give away a used car to try to make a difference to one of our team members. We're giving away a lot of gift cards, just some different things to help them know that they're really appreciated.
That's not like any restaurant Christmas party I've ever been to, giving away cars and PS5s. And wow.
Yeah. Let's say this. It's not a brand new car. Definitely not.
Sure.
But is it going to make a difference for one of our team members? Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Wow. Okay. So what's maybe the motto of Chick-fil-A? Like, do you have any core values that you'd like to talk about? We've alluded to it a little bit.
Yeah.
Tell me about the core values, and then we'll talk about, you know, being closed on Sunday.
For sure. So let me add one piece to the core values, and that would be our mission. One big thing that I am really passionate about just in my life, but then also with my team, is just pursuing excellence. It's something that I feel like I've developed on my own throughout my life experiences. But if I'm to attribute it to stealing it from like one or two people, I would say it's, well, let's go three. Stealing it from Truett, stealing it from Horst Schulze with the Capella Hotel Group and the Ritz-Carlton, and then stealing it from John Wooden, the famous basketball coach,
yeah,
UCLA. All of those guys are so passionate about just pursuing excellence in anything and everything you do. And that's one thing we talk about with our team a lot, and we're going to talk about even more in 2023. No matter what, let's pursue excellence, because if we're pursuing excellence as a business, that's also going to help grow our team members, whether they stay at Chick-fil-A for a long time or whether maybe it's just a high school job for them. Whatever it is, we want a team member to be better when they leave us than when they came to us. And so that's one missional value that I would talk about. But we do have we have six core values that we talk about as well, and we break them into heart, mind, and then hands. And so with heart, we have compassion and positivity that are always two core values that we talk about. With mind, we always talk about growth mindset, and then ability to coach are two really important things for our business. And then with hands, we talk about work ethic and teamwork. And so those are our six core values that we talk about in the business. I think this last year, we maybe faltered on those a little bit. I'm excited to continue to talk about those even more the next year of business. And just focusing on those six things, because if we can do that, our team is going to be able to do a really good job at serving our guests. And it's going to benefit our culture as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. So do you live that out every day at the Chick-fil-A here in Normal? How do you become more excellent? How do you reach excellence as a restaurant and as an employee? What does that mean exactly, and what does that look like?
Yeah, I would say more than anything, it's an attitude and it's a mindset. Right?
Okay.
I think pursuing excellence every day and stealing a lot of this from John Wooden, there's nothing monumental that happens at Chick-fil-A every day, right? There's no like crazy thing that goes on that makes a huge difference. But what it is the consistent pursuit of that and helping our whole team be on board with all of those things. And so, you know, that looks like whenever we have a coaching conversation, we're going to go back to our six core values, right? If we have a team member that's not doing something well, we're going to try to tie back to those six core values kind of as a foundation so that we can coach that person. And so I think there's consistency there. And we know that excellence lives inside consistency, right? Like if you and I want to be really good at going to the gym and maybe getting stronger, consistency is a huge part of that battle towards excellence in going to the gym, right? Just showing up every day, regardless of whether it's a great workout or a horrible workout, right? Maybe you only work out for 5 minutes, but man, you made it to the gym and there was some consistency there. So I think consistency is probably more the key towards that excellence than anything else, but your team has to hear it as well, right? Mm-hmm. We can't just say we're pursuing excellence and that's all we say. We got to talk about, hey, in this situation, we didn't pursue excellence because of this. Or in this situation, we did pursue excellence because of this.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. That's pretty inspirational. You know that? I really like that way of looking at things. It's evident that you look at great leaders such as John Wooden and the other people that you named. And I think that that's why Chick-fil-A, especially this one in Normal, does so well. I love that insight. And now we've dodged a question so much. Why are you closed on Sundays?
Great question. So this goes back to the Dwarf House Grill originally opening. So it opened on a Thursday. And Truett, if I remember the story right, basically worked all day Thursday, all day Friday, and all day Saturday. Remember, Dwarf House Grill was open 24 hours a day. So you're looking at this guy working 72 hours straight. And he kind of said, you know what? We're going to be closed tomorrow. You know, they'd only been open 3 days. Like, it's a brand new business. No one's going to get mad at them. And especially, I'm forgetting the year off the top of my head. I think it was back in the, I think it was 1946 when Truett opened the Dwarf House Grill. You know, it was a lot more common for businesses to be closed on Sundays back then, just to have that reservation for family, you know, worship if you choose, but it's just a day of rest. And that's where it came from. Truett had worked those 3 days and he was like, we're going to be closed tomorrow. And it's been something that our business has continued to follow ever since. And it's just, it's a time for our team members to do what they choose. Like, I love having Sundays off where I don't necessarily have to be worried about what's happening at the restaurant, because restaurants, they're hard.
Oh, right? Yeah.
It's not easy. It's a grueling pace. It's a grind. And we even say that inside a business model. Like, if we go to, you know, a mom and pop shop inside, you know, Bloomington Normal or a bigger restaurant, it's hard to continue to pursue excellence for guests. And so it's awesome having that one day where our team knows no matter what, they get a rest and they don't have to worry about the business for the day, but they can focus on other things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, being that it's Sunday, that is a day of rest. It sounds religious. It sounds Christian.
Yeah.
Are there, people are always talking about how Chick-fil-A, for better or worse, a lot of the time is a Christian company. It's just, that's how it's been, that's what it's been associated with. Christianity, that's why the people are nice. That's why they're closed on Sundays. That's why they have, they preach, you know, humility. That's why they practice that and yada, yada, yada. That's what you hear. But you tell me, set the record straight. Is Chick-fil-A founded on Judeo-Christian values? Yes or no? And maybe feel free to elaborate on that if you'd like.
Yeah, that's a great question, Paul. And we definitely understand there's a lot of, there's a lot of understanding around that, different guest beliefs. So we are a company that's based on biblical principles. So Truett was a strong Bible-believing Christian. And when he originally started the Dwarf House Grill, he founded it on biblical principles. A couple of those that we still follow to this day is no debt. We believe in no debt as a business because that allows us to make better business decisions. Because, you know, if you, if you're familiar with the scriptures at all, it talks about, hey, if you're a borrower, you're slave to the lender.
Yeah.
And so that's one of those things is Chick-fil-A. Like, hey, we just think it's a good business principle to not owe money to anybody because then we can make our own decisions.
And it's crazy how that's laid out clearly in the Bible. And if you ever listen to Dave Ramsey, he's huge on these principles. And they work. It's funny how they work after 2,000 years plus. But anyway, sorry, continue.
Yeah, no. And so, you know, one of those other things that the Bible talks about a lot often is just treating people well, right? Like we just talked about our team, like our team holds up our guest experience. We want to treat them well as possible. And a lot of times that comes from like servant leadership, which I think Jesus is one of the best examples of servant leadership in the Bible. And so we're biblically based, meaning we have a lot of those foundational principles that we continue to follow, which honestly, there's a lot of businesses out there that would follow those same principles, but they might not necessarily say, oh yeah, it's biblically based. Huh. It's just good business, right? Like you said, it's a good idea to not have debt if you can avoid it because it frees up decision-making. But as far as being like an actual Christian company, we're not. We're a restaurant company. We want anybody to feel welcome in our doors. We want any guest to come in and get a great experience. We don't want, like, you know, we just love serving guests, and that's where it is. I think there's a lot of Christians that do work for Chick-fil-A. There's a lot of non-Christians that work for Chick-fil-A, even on my team. And so I think a lot of people like to choose and say, you know, hey, we think it is a Christian company, or we think it's not, based off of some of those things. But, you know, our stance is, hey, we're a biblically based company, and we just want guests to come and have a great experience. We don't care, you know, we don't hear us say we care about you as a guest, but we don't necessarily make any different decisions based off of what, how somebody might identify.
Mm-hmm. When you're going through the process of being selected or not being selected as an owner operator, does Christianity come into play? Do they say, hey, you go to church this Sunday? No?
Never.
Okay.
Yeah. And we never ask our team members that. Like, that would be, you know, in my mind, that would be so disrespectful to ask somebody like, oh, are you a Christian? Like, oh, if not, you can't work here, right? No. I mean, I would say this, because we have such a strong culture at our company, there's a lot of people that love those aspects, and some of those traditional values line up with people that would identify as Christian, right? And so I think there is a little bit of a magnet hold there that attracts some of those individuals. But at the end of the day, we just want great people that want to serve great people, right? Outside of that, like, that's our core, you know, one of our, not necessarily a core value that you can, like, go up and look at for Chick-fil-A, but if that's the case, like, then we're good, because we want to serve guests well. So
I really like something about Chick-fil-A is that they're strong in what they believe and what they're about, and they don't sway with, well, much of anything. Pressures from the media, pressures from shareholders because they don't have any, et cetera, et cetera. They are strong. They are serious about what they – and I think about the Super Bowl, some recent Super Bowl. There's a Chick-fil-A in the stadium that would have just been – blown away with sales, and because the Super Bowl's on Sunday, they stayed closed. Everywhere else, open. It didn't matter if other places were typically closed on Sunday. It's like they're open on Super Bowl Sunday. Not Chick-fil-A, though. And it was funny how that gained so much media attention. I love that. I love people who stand by their values no matter what, even when there's pressure applied. Something you said just a second ago was servant leadership. You said how Jesus kind of preaches that.
Yeah.
You're a leader. What exactly does servant leadership mean for people who might not know?
Yeah. So servant leadership for me is, and this might, you know, I don't necessarily have like this explicit Webster dictionary definition. For me, servant leadership is just having an attitude of being willing to do anything and everything to help your team succeed. You know, so for me, if that means I got to be the one scrubbing the toilet in the bathroom, like, by all means, let me scrub that toilet if I'm helping serve my team and helping serve my guest. Now, it wouldn't be good for me to always be scrubbing the toilet, because hopefully as the owner operator, I've got a few other things that are important for me to work on to continue to help make my business and organization even better. But it's more of an attitude than anything, that if my team knows that I'll hop in and help them out, if at all possible, they trust me a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Versus if, let's say, we had a day that was really tough at Chick-fil-A, you know, and every once in a while this happens, maybe the drive-through line is just super long, guests aren't getting the best experience. If I just walk by my team and I see them struggling and I just walk back to like the office or the back, or like, right, walk out, you know, how would you feel as a team member?
Screw this guy. That's what I think. I've seen that. I've worked in restaurants a lot, and I've seen that on occasions, like, oh, and then everyone talks trash about you. Yeah. So it's like, it doesn't go unnoticed if you were to just walk back to your office. And I'm sure you're about to say this, and if you, when bosses do step in and help and they get their hands on deck, that is awesome. It's like, that's who I want to work for.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Fairbury Furniture in Fairbury, Illinois has added over 7,000 square feet to their showroom, and that means more selection for you. Why wait for your furniture? You can buy anything on the showroom floor and take it home today. So hop in the car and take the short drive to Fairbury Furniture, where customers love their selection, pricing, and their take it home today power. So many Bloomington Normal residents have made Fairbury Furniture their favorite furniture store, just 26 minutes away in downtown Fairbury.
Hurry down to Fairbury Furniture, where the furniture rocks.
Choosing insurance can be complicated and daunting. That's why you need to call Pam Deaton with Health Markets. Pam will help you with all of your insurance needs, including health, life, vision, dental, and disability insurance. She's consistently been one of Health Markets' top national agents over the years and continues to earn great reviews from her clients. If you or a loved one needs to find the right insurance plan, you're in the right hands with Pam. Call her at 309-287-2518 to see how she can help you today.
I mean, I know any business, I've worked inside a lot of Chick-fil-A's, a couple other restaurants. Anytime you see that, you just feel that much more empowered as a team member. And so that's one thing we try to do a lot at Chick-fil-A. You know, it's not every day that I'm in operations, and I'm so thankful for that because I'm able to use that time to continue to try to make my team members' lives, culture, guest experience better, because we know there's a lot that goes into running a restaurant. But at the end of the day, you know, if we're understaffed or something like that, and I need to be in operations, like, man, that's pretty important that day, that I'll do the criticals that I have to. But man, other than that, I'm going to use that time to serve guests because our guests deserve it, right? We never want a guest to feel undervalued at Chick-fil-A. And that's a challenge because of the volume, mm-hmm. right? Like when you're one of 30 cars in line, sometimes it feels like just because you're one of 30, we don't value you. And we talk about and try to make sure that we don't want that to be the feeling you leave with. Because at the end of the day, if that's the case, why would you come back to us?
Right.
Right. And so we try hard to make you feel like one of one as opposed to one of 30.
Mm-hmm. If you go to a restaurant, you'll forget the quality of the food. You'll forget what you ate even, but you'll never forget the way that place made you feel.
Oh,
that sticks with you. And there's something interesting. I want to ask about your drive-through system even.
Yeah.
You pull up and the line is long. There's two lines and they're both packed and they're both long. But right when you pull up, there's like three people that you're going to talk to throughout the line, but when you pull up, someone says, "Hi, how's it going?" And it's like, "Oh, hi." You feel seen, you feel heard, you feel valued. And that's amazing. That's why I return, no doubt about it. It's highly awesome. Emotional, highly psychological. It's great. And they smile at you. Not only that, but at your place anyway, they're standing there. They're physically right there. Whereas, you know, not to bash on Taco Bell, but I go to Taco Bell a lot too. I'll go through their drive-thru and it's like, "What can I get you?" Through a speaker that sounds like junk anyway. And I'm like, "Oh, I didn't even know you. Like, I don't see anyone." It's just so impersonal. You don't feel valued at all. And then it's like, "Please pull around." Or not even please, it's just pull around. So there's just a huge contrast between Chick-fil-A's drive-thru and a lot of other drive-thrus. And I know that you don't want to bash on those places much. And you even like going to them as well.
Yeah.
All that said, I want to ask about the drive-thru system. It's designed in an interesting way, and maybe you can tell me, how is it designed firstly, and why is it designed that way?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm going to try to answer this, Paul, and let me know if I answered it right or didn't quite answer it in the way that you wanted me to. So, you know, our system is designed to really, at the end of the day, be mobile. If we're tied to a speaker box, I can only talk to you when you're right in front of that speaker box. But because we have team members out there, we have the ability to move further back in the line or forward. It kind of has flex with our flow. And that's one of the things we try to do at Chick-fil-A is we talk about bottlenecks a lot, right? Bottlenecks in business. So for us, like a bottleneck would be our window. Right. If we have one window and we don't have anybody standing outside, we can only serve one guest at a time. Right. There's no way I can get two cars to pull up and like super stretch out and hand food to a car that's beyond the car that's there. Right. And so, OK, if we can try to eliminate that bottleneck, let's do it by putting people outside. So now they can deliver to 3, 4, 5, 6 cars. And that gets you your food a little bit faster, makes that experience better. And so we do try to do the same thing all across our system where we're trying to make sure that those bottlenecks are at least a little bit flexible. And then we have some time if we see one of those bottlenecks starting to shut down that we can go send some people there to try to help smooth it out before it really hurts us. But I would say one of the biggest things we do in our system to try to make sure it's good, we just make it flexible so that we can do different things so that it's not tied to one speaker box, one person, all those things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you have multiple people taking orders as well.
Yes.
What's the purpose of that? Like the first person, there's one person, then there's another person. There's like four people outside to take orders. And then you're saying there's less of a bottleneck, a less narrow bottleneck, because what? There's multiple people standing outside, physically standing outside of the the window. Is that right? Like, I remember what I've seen, but maybe,
yeah,
maybe explain it even clearer, if that's okay.
Absolutely. I think a good way I can go with this is, like, how many people do we even run outside and what are they doing, mm-hmm. right? So when you pull into our drive-thru line, we usually have anywhere between 4 and 6 order takers, especially if it's what we call a peak time. So if you come through in the afternoon, we might only have 2 outside. We're trying to still serve those guests and kind of guard our business at the same time. But if you're coming through between like 11 and 2, we probably have 4 to 6 order takers outside. All of them are designed to help give that guest a great experience, make you feel like you're getting a good amount of time, and that we're not just hurrying you on to the next thing, right? We know one of the dichotomies of that that's a negative is you don't always have a menu right in front of you. And just to let any guests know, if that's a little bit frustrating for you or you feel like you're pressured, take your time. We're not waiting on you to hurry through the order. You can ask for a menu. We will find a way to make sure we get you the access that you need. Because I know that's intimidating sometimes coming to the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. Maybe you don't know what you want or you want to try something different. And then all of a sudden, there's somebody right there by your window. You're like, yeah, just take the number one.
Right. Right.
Maybe that's what you're used to. Take some time. Let us know. We put multiple order takers out there so that we can take time with our guests.
Right.
Because we want it to be accurate. We want it to be a good experience.
And also something you do that I love is you have multiple menus up. You do have menus on like the pillars.
Absolutely.
And so you see the menu, the same menu multiple times over. And I think that's great. I've always thought it's like Taco Bell has one menu and you have to wait 10 minutes before you finally get your shot to look at it. And while you're looking at it, you're expected to order at the same time. It's like that's a big menu. Also, you guys don't have a humongous menu, which is great.
Yes.
People think they want tons of options. They don't. That's anxiety-inducing. That's stress-inducing. It's like too many options.
Absolutely.
No, I just want to say that is brilliant from a psychological standpoint to have a small menu that rocks. Mm. And you just keep refining that. And it seems like you're in the game of continual refinement. You're just getting your systems better and better, more and more efficient, more and more polite. Hey, you're pursuing excellence, I guess. Isn't that what that's all about?
Absolutely. And we talk about with that, Paul, pursuing excellence, a lot of times it looks like reinvention. Right? We have to continually reinvent ourselves as a business because guest expectations change, right? Like, let's say, I think one of the biggest reinventions we've had outside of our drive-thru in the past 10 years has been mobile apps, right? Some guests just want to be able to come in, don't really want to interact with anybody, grab their food and go. You know, we love that personal connection. We would appreciate, like, we hope we can still say hi to you and make that experience feel good. But hey, if you're in a hurry, we totally get that. And so enter in Chick-fil-A app that you can download. You can actually place your order anytime. You could wake up 6:30, you know you're going to Chick-fil-A for lunch. You can spend as much time as you want looking at the menu. You can place that order and classify it as drive-through or mobile carry-out. And then when you get close enough, close to our store, then you can hit that I'm here button. I guess you can't in the drive-through. We have to pull that order up and push it through just to make sure it's fully accurate for you. But like mobile carry-out, you know, 2 minutes before you get to our store, hit that I'm here button. By the time you get inside, it's going to be either ready or almost ready. And that's a little bit different than some places. Most places, you know, like let's say I use the Starbucks app a lot because I drink some coffee. I got some great coffee right here. Thanks to you, Paul. But when I place my order at Starbucks, it goes right through. They're making it right then and there or a little bit after. You know, if I don't show up for 20 minutes, then my coffee's either a little bit hot or a little bit cold based on what I ordered, and that's kind of my own fault. We try to make sure that doesn't happen for our guests, so we don't actually make it until you hit that I'm here button, because let's say this, our waffle fries are awesome, but waffle fries that are 10 minutes old are not awesome, right? Like they lose a lot of that that value that you love. And so we try to make sure as much as possible, when you come in, we can meet that order with you right there or a little bit after so that you still get a good eating experience. But we know some people value their time a little bit more than great food.
Right. Some people value their time and also they value not talking to people. Some people are very socially anxious, you know. I know people that are like, you've got to order for me. I'm like, order for you? What the? Anyway, that's a different style of thinking, I guess, that I'm not used to. But some people are very much like that. I wouldn't host a podcast if I were scared to talk to people. But you mentioned some early on about struggles that you've had, maybe with Chick-fil-A, maybe in your own life. I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. But everyone likes a good story of struggle and perseverance. So if you wouldn't mind, can you tell me about some of the struggles you've had?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'll go back to I'm going to enlarge it over not just like the past year, but the past 6 years. And so I think a lot of people would be interested, you know, how did you even make it to Chick-fil-A? What did that look like? So let me tell a little bit of my Chick-fil-A story and some of the struggles that I had in there.
Please.
So I originally grew up in Nebraska. I told you my first experience with Chick-fil-A, 2011, my great friend Matthew introducing me to it, and me kind of having something click in the back of my head that was like, there's more to this than meets the eye. I'm just going to file that away. I may never do anything with it besides eat at Chick-fil-A again. Over the next couple of years, I consumed a lot more Chick-fil-A. I ended up being, I had a ministry program that I was a part of, and I ended up being in Jacksonville, Florida for a summer. First time ever, I was within driving distance of a Chick-fil-A. Had great experiences there, and that was a summer that like started to kind of solidify in my head, this is like a really cool business, and this might actually be a possibility, right? Because for me, I know I told you I came from just like, I would call my family, you know, middle class. You know, some might call that humble beginnings, some might not. But it's, you know, I didn't grow up with like millions of dollars that I could just go buy a franchise.
Uh-huh.
And so one of the things that's unique about Chick-fil-A, they have that competitive process we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. To buy a business is only $10,000.
Whereas McDonald's, it's $40,000. Other places, $45,000, $50,000. It's a huge thing.
Yeah.
I've noticed that. $10,000, but you have to make the cut, right?
You got to make the cut, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the hard thing. Like I would say Chick-fil-A does it well in this. They want to make sure they have the right person. And they want to make sure that that amount of money does not take out a lot of people that would otherwise be qualified. And so, you know, for me, when I found that out, I was like, wow, so this is like an actual possibility. I could do this. At the time, I was going to the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. I had originally majored in science education, actually. So I was a high school chemistry teacher. That is the degree that I graduated with. When I graduated college, I got married to my wife, Jill. She works at the restaurant too. If you ever come through, you'll see her probably up front serving some guests. And we did collegiate ministry for 2 years. So we did a ministry program, served with the collegiate ministry, just to connect with people. We felt heavily impacted by that in college, and that was something we personally wanted to give back to.
And ministry means that you went out and about in the world talking about Jesus and the Gospels and or what?
Yeah, mostly just on college campus. And so we would meet students and in a very non-confrontational way, like if they were interested in learning more about Christianity or even just life in general, we'd just sit down and talk to them, right? Like it was very, very much like you and I are doing now. It's like, hey, tell me about you growing up. Because college is a very big discovery time for a lot of people. And that can be, you know, make or break in just a lot of decisions that they make. So we were just there available to try to help anybody that was interested in learning a little bit more about Christianity or growing in their faith or some of those biblical principles of leadership or no debt, different things like that. So we did that for 2 years. And then I was a high school chemistry teacher actually for a year.
Where at? Just curious.
Yeah, it was actually Lincoln, Nebraska. So shout out to Lincoln East Spartans. I was a high school chemistry teacher there for a year, and I loved it. I loved interacting with students, investing in them. All three of those years combined, I loved what I was doing, but I think God was kind of interweaving a bigger story of Chick-fil-A. And like all those things were preparing me for what I believe to be able to be a business owner with Chick-fil-A. And so after those 3 years, during that third year, I really started looking into Chick-fil-A. How do I get into this? How do I even move through it, right? Because when you look it up online, it can seem like a convoluted process. There's no definite timeline. Sometimes it takes people a year. Sometimes it takes people five, right? Because Chick-fil-A is looking for the right person. And that's the big difference. And so I was kind of figuring out, how do I even get into this? I didn't really know. And so I ended up talking to a couple owner operators, just emailed them out of the blue. Can I spend time with you? Can I learn how you got into Chick-fil-A? And I spent time with a guy named Jared. And Jared was an owner operator at that time in St. Joseph, Missouri, pretty close to Nebraska. I'd been to his store several times, amazing experiences. I just asked him, do you have time? Can you sit down? Help me understand this. And he talked to me about something that Chick-fil-A calls their leadership development program. And so this is kind of their, you know, it's kind of just a development program for leaders that can oftentimes end up in getting an opportunity to be a Chick-fil-A operator. And so I learned about this program, and the requirements were 2 years of experience in the restaurant. you had to have great leadership qualities. And then if you were qualified enough and you interviewed for it and you were accepted into the program, then you would travel with Chick-fil-A and help Chick-fil-A across the nation. And so when I found out about this program, I was like, whoa, there's actually a path here. Mm-hmm. And that was what was holding me back for a while. I knew I wanted to do Chick-fil-A. I just didn't feel like I had a path. Right. And so that turned into a path. And so it turned into me looking like, okay, where do I get a job at a Chick-fil-A restaurant? Again, Nebraska really didn't have that many Chick-fil-A's. The ones we did have were very new and new operators. And I really kind of wanted to go. I had three things. I wanted to go with an operator that really had worked with Truett and knew Truett a little bit, because the culture and the history is what I loved about Chick-fil-A. So I wanted to experience that firsthand. I wanted to go to an operator that was great at growing and developing leaders. And then I wanted to go somewhere closer to where Chick-fil-A started, which is Atlanta, Georgia, so that I could be a little bit closer to that culture and history.
Huh.
I ended up getting connected to an operator through a friend of mine. His name is Tim Birchfield. So shout out to Tim in Johnson City, Tennessee. Tim is an amazing leader. He has so much passion for people. And I literally went down over my spring break as a teacher and I spent time. And when I started that week, my original thought was, hey, maybe in 3 years, might move down here to this restaurant, try to grow and develop and maybe give it a shot with Chick-fil-A. By the end of that week, after spending time with Tim and seeing how much his leaders loved him and what he'd done in people's lives, I was just asking myself and my wife, why not now? Why should we wait for this? And so I went back, I finished my year of teaching, and through a lot of prayer and conversation, we just decided we're going to move to Tennessee and we're going to go work for Tim and hopefully grow and develop into being able to be competitive for being a Chick-fil-A operator. And so there enters one of the hard things. Like, it wasn't popular with my family to choose to go to Tennessee. It's a couple states away. I had a good job as a teacher. My wife was a teacher as well. Like, things in a lot of ways as young people, they would say, this is a great career. Why are you throwing it all away?
Mm-hmm.
But for us, it was the vision of what you could do with being a Chick-fil-A operator, right? So like me as a teacher, I had 120 to 130 students a day that I interacted with, 50 to 55 minutes at a time. And most of that time I was focused on teaching science concepts or different lessons.
Uh-huh.
And when I looked at Chick-fil-A, it's like, man, so you get a team of like 70 to 150 people that you can have an influence and an impact on. You're kind of doing the same thing every day. So you get to focus a little bit more on the people and the guest, not necessarily on making a chicken sandwich, right? Like, we don't change the way we make our chicken sandwich. It's not like every week they come in and we go, oh guys, we're doing it this way this week, uh-huh. Right? So it doesn't have a lot of variability in the process, but it's the people that makes it fun. Yeah, so moved to Tennessee. That was definitely challenging and tough for me and my family, because I knew we might never be back in Nebraska. But again, it was that bigger vision of having opportunity and influence with our team members and our guests that was like, made it a decision that I was like, I think we have to do this. And so another hard aspect that we went through, and I'll really shorten this because I know I've been talking for a while.
No, please. It's a podcast. You're supposed to talk for a while. It's interesting.
But I got to let you ask some questions too.
Oh, sure.
But it was that leadership development program. So I spent 2.5 years at Tim's store. He did an amazing job growing and developing me, and more than anything, giving me opportunity to mess up. I learned a lot of tough lessons at Tim's store. I lost Tim some money. A couple times, more than once, and we're not talking like a couple dollars. And so just again, thank you to Tim for giving me those opportunities to grow and learn inside business. Grew up in leadership and applied for that leadership development program. And I was fortunate enough to be selected, and I found myself, this would have been, I haven't given a lot of years. I was at Tim's store from 2016 through 2018, and January of 2019, I found myself on a flight down to Atlanta to get training for this leadership development program. And therein enters a lot of the other hard aspects and challenges that my wife have gone through. What it looks like to do that program is you are totally on the road. We lived in hotels for 2.5 years, or maybe corporate housing, which is just a fancy way of saying like a temporary apartment that's furnished. So I lived in a lot of Residence Inns. I see your face. You got a good question here, Paul. What you got?
No. It's not actually. I'm just blown away. Really, it's like all this to run a store.
Yeah.
Like, you're running around. Your life is not stable. You're on the road so much for 2.5 years, you said?
Yeah.
So, and you're bringing your wife along with you.
Yep. Yep. So we've traveled a lot. We during that 2.5 years, which the program's designed to be anywhere from 24 months to 30, basically. So we did kind of the max of the program. We lived in about 19 different cities during that time, a lot of hotels. And what your role is to go around and help open brand new Chick-fil-A's. They're opening up because a lot of times Chick-fil-A will have operators that have never had experience at Chick-fil-A, right? Maybe they're great business leaders at other great companies. And so now they're opening a restaurant and they don't really know how to do it. The restaurant aspect, they know business super well. They know people really well. And so that's where we'd enter in and try to help give some of that restaurant industry knowledge, training. We'd bring in a training team from other stores that we just like select people that we think are going to be great at training that new team. Excuse me. And so that's a lot of what we would do for the brand new stores. And then we'd also would help run Chick-fil-A stores that were in between owner operators. And so every Chick-fil-A business is corporately owned, the building itself. Mm. Okay. And so, so whenever Chick-fil-A has an operator that maybe moves to another store location, maybe they retire, we will go in as part of the leadership development program, take control of that store for a period of time, really get the business to where we feel like it's right to pass it off to another operator, and then pass it off to them. And so 2.5 years doing that, 19 different cities. We were in as far east as Westbury in Long Island, and we were as far west as Seattle, Washington.
Are you kidding me?
No, it was pretty crazy. So
let me ask you and your wife.
Yeah.
Was she okay with this? Was she fully supportive, or did you ever have a little something like we're running around an awful lot for Chick-fil-A?
Yeah,
like I thought we were gonna, you know, start a family or something like that.
It definitely, like, you know, in some ways it feels like life was put on pause, but in a lot of ways, like, we just continued to do life well and just take advantage of all the traveling that we were blessed to be able to have while Chick-fil-A was, you know, was paying for us to be there. Definitely some tough conversations, no question. I mean, we know marriage in general is not easy, right? I think you're married, Paul, is that right?
I am not,
okay.
But I love
okay.
talking about marriage. I have a great girlfriend. We're on the same page with it all and everything, but yeah, marriage... If you go into marriage, or you think about marriage as being this lovey-dovey, always fun, thinking it should always be fun. We were dating, it was always fun, it should be fun. Yeah, right. It is. It. Do you know Jordan Peterson?
I don't think
you
I
don't
do.
Know Jordan.
No.
Peterson? Okay, anyway,
somebody you got to introduce me to. I think.
Here. Oh, he's a world-renowned psychologist. He's a huge name guy.
Maybe I do. I think I've seen him on social media. Somewhere.
Okay, yeah. 12 Rules for Life is his big book. He's anyway. No, anyone who is worth listening to talk about marriage, especially from a Christian perspective, you know, where you have these certain morals and virtues and you live it a certain way. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's so tough. It's like 80%, 90%. It's difficult. It's work, you know. And anyway, yes, marriage is tough.
Right? Yeah. We could say this. Marriage is tough, but marriage is also rewarding.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
It's just like business. It's just like the Paul Garcia show. This show is not easy to do, right? Like, you had reached out to me twice before I even told you, hey, yes, I can come onto the podcast, right? Like, there's some rejection built in there, but man, is this show rewarding? Absolutely. Rewarding for you, rewarding for me, your listeners, 100%. And so to say that my wife and I had some tough conversations during those 2.5 years, 100%, right? Not every day was rainbows and butterflies. I mean, I always talk about, I tell my team, my hardest stretch in that time was we were working at a brand new store and, or sorry, not a brand new store. We'd just taken over a store and it was in decent shape, but we'd lost a lot of the team because the operator moved just like 30 minutes down the road to a different store location. Naturally, you're going to go work for that person. They're only 30 minutes away. You've developed a relationship with them. And so we kind of had to hire on a whole new team. And so we enter in to basically being, you know, the sole leader at this restaurant. And man, I think I worked 5 a.m. to 11 or midnight for almost two weeks straight outside of Sunday. And like, that's sometimes what was needed to try to make sure that we were supporting the team and giving our guests a good experience, because you can't just look at a guest and be like, well, sorry, the operator relocated and took some of their team members. Like, that's why you got a bad experience today. You would
right.
not want that if you came through our drive-thru, right?
And who would care either?
Exactly.
If we're being honest, like, I don't care.
And so, you know, so we had some times like that where it's like, was that hard on my wife and I? Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. Right. Like I came home and rolled into bed at like 12:30, 1 o'clock, waking up at 4:30, getting ready to go to the restaurant the next day. And so there's some challenging and trying times. Now, let me say this. That is not everybody's Chick-fil-A story. Mm-hmm. Okay. And even anybody in the leadership development program, you're at so many different restaurants, different locations. Everybody's story is a little bit different in what you experience. And so hear me say, like, I'll own my story as mine. It's not what you have to do to become a Chick-fil-A operator. There's plenty of people like there's a great guy in Westbury, Long Island. His name is Scott. Helped him open up his store. And he actually came from a background. I forget exactly what company it was, but he came from a food company where he worked in food sales. And he didn't do the same thing to get to Chick-fil-A. He actually was really smart and wise in his business. He was great at working with people. And he looked at what he wanted to do with the rest of the time that he felt like he had working. And he just thought Chick-fil-A was the company to be with, right? Kind of similar, excellence, love those values. He originally comes, I think he went to college at Notre Dame. So he had this, his theme was champion. If I remember right, Notre Dame, they always talk about being champions, no matter mm-hmm. what you do. Kind of similar.
Play like a champion.
Yeah. There we go. Play like a champion. Kind of similar veins to that pursue excellence. And so he, you know, we were helping him learn the restaurant business industry and help open up his store, which unfortunately I never got to help open. We had a few fire alarm things that took several months to iron out, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Construction's a totally different story. But, you know, a great guy that was running a great business, we got the chance to help him learn and grow and do some of those things. And he's an amazing operator now. His store is doing some really, really great things for his guests.
If you've been living with an aching back, debilitating imbalances, or any physical discomfort and just want to get back to living a fit and happy life, look no further than In Motion Fitness Center and Outpatient Therapy at Fairview Haven in Fairbury, Illinois. Our highly skilled therapy team will guide you through proven and effective exercises to help you regain your strength, movement, and mobility, all with our renowned level of love and care. Live your best life. Call our therapy team at 815-692-6724 to find out how we can serve you today.
All right. Well, okay, now how'd you wind up in Normal then?
Yeah. So when my wife and I actually started with Chick-fil-A and moved to Tennessee, our dream was to go learn as much about the company as possible and come back to the Midwest and try to bring some of that Chick-fil-A culture and values with it. Obviously, Chick-fil-A culture and values you can get at any restaurant that is Chick-fil-A, but we understand, you know, the closer you get to the starting point of a company, you're usually going to feel those culture and values a little bit stronger, right? Like, for example, I grew up in Nebraska. I'm a big Cornhusker fan. If you want to meet some great Cornhusker fans, you're going to go to Lincoln, Nebraska, where University right. of Nebraska-Lincoln is, right?
Good point. Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to go to Maine and expect to find a lot of avid Husker fans because why would they? It's so far away from where the team plays. It doesn't make sense. And so went down to try to be close to Atlanta to learn some of these culture, values, history, all of those things that make the company what it is, and then kind of almost transplant that here in Chick-fil-A, somewhere in the Midwest. And so the way it works with Chick-fil-A is if you get chosen as an operator, you don't, like, they don't just tell you, they don't ask you, where do you want to store? We'll just go build one there, right? Like there might be stores that are already built that they're looking for operators for, and Chick-fil-A has their growth model where they know they want to go. And so you kind of have to like ride the wave in a way mm-hmm. to catch a store where you would like to be. And that's why sometimes the process takes a really long time for operators. If they only want to be in one city, might take a long time right. before they put a store there or there's any movement. But we were looking at some different locations. We'd been super impressed with Illinois. We actually ended up opening a restaurant up in Chicago during the pandemic and kind of fell in love with Illinois, pretty close to Nebraska. So obviously we wanted to try to have that family dynamic available there. And Normal, Illinois was one that was on the list. And we had kind of a couple stores that we were kind of like interviewing for at the same time. And Normal was our absolute favorite. It's just a great town, great community. You know, there's a lot of great businesses here that make this community what it is. I'm sure you could tell me more, but a couple that I'd heard about were like State Farm, Rivian, just a lot of excitement. And so we came and visited a couple times because we ended up being at the Chick-fil-A in Springfield, Illinois, just south of here a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we just loved this place. We ended up walking around over at, I think it was Teeny Park, and just loved it. And we, we just thought, hey, this looks like a great place. And we continued to stay in the interview process. And we were fortunate enough to be selected, thinking that we'd be great fits here. And shout out to the original person who started up this Chick-fil-A, Josh Wynn. He just did such an amazing job building this business. He had it for the first, I think it was 5.5 or 6 years. And then I recently took over last February. So we're coming up on my 1 year mark almost.
Wow.
And it's just been amazing to see the great job that he did with his team. And then we've just tried to continue to carry the baton and continue to excel in making a great experience and growing our team members.
Wow. Not even 1 year yet, but man, you've been a big Chick-fil-A guy for quite some time.
Yeah.
What an incredible story. And as we're getting towards the end of this conversation, I want to ask a few things. First of all, how do you like the first year? How's it been dealing with all these responsibilities and everything that you have to deal with? Do you love it still?
Oh, we absolutely love it. I mean, life this last year has been an absolute roller coaster ride, Paul. Like, not only from Chick-fil-A perspective, but my wife and I, as anybody does, they go through personal things, you know, whether that's a loss of a family member, different things like that. So we've had a lot of things that have gone on, and it's still just been awesome and so rewarding. You know, I say that in the sweetest way. It's been tough, but you know, we love our business. We love our team. If you ever ask me, do I love my team? I love my team 100%. And so getting the chance to go in every day and see them grow and develop and learn, like, that is why I got into this business, is being able to help grow those people. And so totally been worth it. Has it been hard? Yes. Is it going to continue to be hard? Yeah. Like, you know, as a business owner yourself, it's not rainbows and butterflies every day.
Right? Heck no.
People love to see what they want to see with it, right? So, like, if I took a day off and went and played golf, there'd probably be somebody that sees me on the course, if they recognize me as a Chick-fil-A owner operator, and think, oh my gosh, is this what he does every day? No, it's not, right? Mm-hmm. That's the rare day in between. So there's definitely some sweet benefits to it, but you know, but not every day is rainbows and butterflies. But man, we have way more great days than not great days. And as long as we keep having that happen, we're going to be in business for a long, long time.
Right. It's like you become a business owner, and in doing so, you agree to endure more pain than an employee, a typical employee would endure, in order so that you can have more rewards and feelings of satisfaction than a typical employee would endure. You're getting your spectrum of feeling pain and feeling joy both go further to the right and to the left.
Yes, but it's a great way to put it.
And so what does the future look like then for you? What are your plans as an individual, and what do you even think the future of Chick-fil-A looks like?
Yeah, that's a great question. So for me, just an individual, I want to continue to become a greater leader, right? Like, I'm going to be with Chick-fil-A for life, you know, unless something crazy would happen, because we all understand life can get turned upside down sometimes. I'm going to be with Chick-fil-A for life, and my plan is to be here Bloomington Normal forever. This is a great place, great location, and, you know, our heart is to grow and develop leaders, and we feel like we have one of the best restaurants to be able to do that out of. And so for me, my new passion and journey is getting to serve my guests the best possible, right? Whether that's me or one of my team members. And then the second part of that journey is trying to take as many people on my team as possible and either give them one of the best places to work that they could ever imagine as much as possible, or help them grow and develop in leadership, whether they stay with us, whether they go to another business, or whether they go on further with Chick-fil-A. You know, my dream is to try to do what my operator, Tim, did for me, which is create more owner-operators that can go out and have an impact and an influence on other communities, other individuals, and other cities. And so that's what the future looks like for me. It's kind of one of those fun things. If you've ever listened to Simon Sinek, it goes a little bit along with his idea of the infinite game, right? If you're playing the infinite game, there's no end. Mm-hmm. We're just going to keep going and going and going until at some point we stop playing. And so I don't know what that looks like for me. I think at this time, you know, only God knows what that future looks like. excited to get this next year, get even more involved in the community. I think that's an aspect this first year I've just really tried to focus on my store, my team, growing my leaders. And I'm excited this next year to try to get more plugged into the community. Naturally, I have a huge aspiration for schools, coming from a background of education for my wife and I. And so I don't know exactly what that looks like right now, but you know, I've gotten the chance to speak in a couple high school classrooms, work programs, different things like that. And man, I love connecting with some of those students, getting a chance to share some about Chick-fil-A or leadership, any of those things. And so I would say year two for my wife and I is going to look at how do we feel like we have roots? How do we go deeper? Is probably the big thing that we're looking at this year. And I think your other question towards like Chick-fil-A, you know, I think that's a thinly veiled, like, all right, are we going to have more Chick-fil-A's in town? Some of that stuff. I believe that there's going to be more Chick-fil-A's that are going to be coming to Bloomington Normal. We might have some different operators come in with those. There is an opportunity with Chick-fil-A to be what they call a multi-restaurant operator, where you still got to have that closeness, that distance, so that you can actually be there every day to help serve your team and grow them. But I believe that we're going to be having some more come. But we are very, with Chick-fil-A's overall business model, we want to make sure you come for a great experience, right? And so instead of just opening up as many locations as we can and just trying to capitalize on Chick-fil-A and the wave, we want to try to open restaurants as we can sustain them and give that great experience. And so I don't know exactly what the timeline is along that. Obviously, we're going to keep serving as many guests at Chick-fil-A Veterans in College as we can. I know sometimes you got to question whether or not you want to get into the line or the parking lot, but I promise we are working as hard as we can to get you through in a decent manner and give you a great experience while we do it.
I love it. I love it. The lean and mean growth approach that Chick-fil-A has, they grow conservatively. I think that is the absolute best way to do it. Sometimes you grow too fast at the expense of the dining and customer experience, and you see dollar signs more than hearts and minds. Yeah. You know, whereas at Chick-fil-A right now, the lean growth approach, you can assure that your customers will have a great experience in the drive-thru and in the dining room. I love that approach. I'm excited to see the future of Chick-fil-A. I'm excited to see your future as well with the company, and I'm excited to see maybe a couple more in the near future. Chick-fil-A's here in Bloomington Normal. But Justin, it's been a great conversation. You're doing great things. You're a good man, and your enthusiasm is inspiring, and it's contagious. So thank you so much. Also, you said you love your customers, or not your customers, you said you love your employees, and they love you too. I did some inside research, you know, every time I go through the drive-thru, I ask a question of some sort, and I asked, what do you guys think about Justin? They said, oh, we love working for him. He's awesome. So I hope that makes you feel good, and it really makes me feel good that you came onto the show today. So thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Well, Paul, as we say at Chick-fil-A, it's our absolute pleasure. Thanks for having us. And just shout out to anybody that's listening to the podcast and comes through Chick-fil-A, you especially being, you know, we term them raving fans a lot of times, Paul, like, thank you guys. It is you that even gives us the ability to have a great business. We try to talk about all the time, at the end of the day, we have to serve our guests, because if we had no guests come through, we wouldn't be able to have a great organization. And so I hope that you feel that. And if not, I hope you hear me say it now. And don't be afraid. If you come through Chick-fil-A, ask for me. I'd love to meet you. I'd love to say hi. You know, I'm not always out in the dining room, but you know, we try to have that community mindset at Chick-fil-A, where you can actually see the owner operator, the face, or if not interact with my leaders. I mean, again, my team's great. I'll sing their praises all day. And so just thank you to everyone that gives us the opportunity to do what we do every day. We really appreciate it. It means a lot to us.
Well, hey, you're welcome. And to everyone watching and listening to the Paul Garcia Show, that was Justin Whitefoot with Chick-fil-A here in Normal. Thank you so much for watching. And until next episode, God bless and have a great week.